cumbia della noi.
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is the Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. Well, today we're going to build many bridges as we usually do. We have a lot of Eurovision news. We're gearing up towards Basel. Slowly, but I think actually it's not so slow anymore. It's the new Eurovision season for, well, 2 months now, as we're recording this on November the 1st. And we have quite a lot of news. So guys, are you excited for this upcoming season?
I'm so excited. So I'm so happy that this season has started and that we are, you know, getting towards the all the happening, which is going to be starting. Actually, we're about to have our first national final of the season in just, what, 2 weeks? 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, Montenegro is really coming back in a rush. It's crazy.
Yeah. They really don't want to, you know, to let anyone else release a song before.
Well, they're the neighbors of Albania, so they know when FIK is happening, so they were, no, yeah, we have to be before that. If we stay in the Balkan, Jan, actually, with you, EMA has announced its return. How do you feel about that?
Oh, you know, I think it's great because, like, the media was, you know, always, not the media, but like mostly people who's watching the EMA show, they some sort of, for the last 2 years, they felt like, oh, you know, it's people, they are like selecting internally and so on and so on. But I think it's such a great idea and such an amazing format they have this year. They opened this submission window, so they're literally right now waiting for the songs, and then jury will select, I think, 12 songs and maybe two additional more, just in case if somebody would be withdrawing or anything. And later on, there will be 5 expert juries who will be rating the songs in the Eurovision system from 1 to 12. And the top 2 will be given the chance to the audience, so they will, you know, vote for the favorite song out of 2, and it will be televote only, so it's basically giving the people what they want. So it's really exciting, and I'm really, really looking forward to.
So the juries pick a top 2 that go to a super final that then only televote picks the winner.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow.
There was a lot of, you know, over the years, RTV Slovenia is selecting, you know, its entry, its 30th entry for Basel. So
right.
Over the years, we tried, you know, many different versions of national formats and stuff, and television realized that it's a great idea maybe to put some efforts in a way that, you know, you put some work for the juries and then you put something to choose for the viewers back home. So I think this is quite a good idea.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I think EMA is one of the most open national finals, you know, even if the fans think they have a clear winner, it's usually a different one who actually ends up winning it. No, but I really like the reel that EMA Eurovizia posted, just a compilation pretty much of the former Slovenian acts, but I was really shocked. Like, in the back of my head, I knew that, but just to see all of them, like, it's so crazy how underrated Slovenia is every year. Like, there was not a top 10 entry since Nuša Derenda. Yeah, exactly. That's my birth year. I've never experienced a Slovenian top 10 placement live.
It's not because I'm from here, but like, I really have a feeling that like, it's been way too long, you know, for us to kind of catch that moment. And objectively looking for at it, I think there has been so many songs which could easily end up in top 10 over the years. We shouldn't forget No One from Maya Keats from 2011. Yeah. You know, she was 3rd in her semi-final, and then obviously I think she ended up 13th, so she was out of top 10. And there were so many other songs, you know, which would deserve to end up there. But, you know, I love how our television is always going in a way that they're trying to, you know, try different things, different approaches, different, you know, selecting internally and then getting back to EMA. Then, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's Eurovision, and the only thing matter after that is how the artist itself is embracing its Eurovision experience. So no matter the actual placement.
Just try yourself out and at some point it will work.
Exactly.
No, but that's what I mean. None of these entries were like bad or like, you know, many of them were very interesting, sophisticated, like Veronica this year or Zala Gašper, Joker out, etc. And yeah, I'm excited. Slovenia usually brings at least something interesting, even if it's not always too successful.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see what will happen just in a few months, I think. Well, in December, we will have probably the names of the finalists.
Well, on that note, Sebi, should we jump from Jan's country's news to yours?
Well, mine are pretty small because, of course, ORF is always keeping everything behind closed doors. And just, you know, internally, we have apparently 8 songs left in the running. All of these news are based on Kleine Zeitung, which is, you know, not like the most reliable source. But like they have a good insider when it comes to Eurovision, so it's possible that it's true. But yeah, I don't have much to say about that because, ORF is not doing anything publicly. I'm always thinking, you know, if there are really 8 songs left that people think are good, why not put them into like a national final? It's not like we are someone who doesn't have the money for it. But also, Austria hasn't had the best run with national finals. I think Austria is doing probably better with internally selected entries. Like, we've had national finals for a while, and then the first internally selected entry was Conchita. And then the next year we had a national final again, and we got 0 points. So I'm pretty pleased with how things are going right now. Mm. And similar to Slovenia, every final appearance is a victory for us already.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, it really shouldn't be that way, because you have different countries who are like always approaching, you know, for the top 10 result. And, you know, like, I don't know, there has been some countries over the years who didn't show any particular success, but they, you know, just changed the mindset and they said, you know, we want a good result. We want to end up in top 10. And they do. And this is, you know, this is the wrong mentality. Why only grand final? Eurovision costs so much. You know, so it will cost you exactly the same with the same performance if you end up in top 10 or, you know, on the bottom of the final scoreboard.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, the thing is that like with national finals and stuff, I would rather say sometimes, but not in all cases, of course, but like internally selecting artists isn't such a bad idea because you invest, you know, money into the artist, the song itself, and all the sources for that. So it's not usually a bad decision to do. But like, again, then you have other countries who are investing more into the national finals because of some also tradition, viewership, and so on. So it makes sense why they decide one way or another.
Speaking of traditional national finals, a very big tradition has suddenly returned to Germany, which is over there. And I'm, you know, Germany's little neighbor and the same language. It's huge news over there, like not even just in the Eurovision bubble. It's like huge news in just the German media in general, because Stefan Raab is finally taking over the German national selection again. And, you know, those who know, like Stefan Raab has never selected an entry that has not finished in the top 10. We've had Gilde Horn, we've had himself with Wade Hade Dude Da, then we've had Max Mutzke, and then we had Lena twice, and the last time was Roman Loeb in Baku. And now he's finally back. He's been off screen for many, many years. Yeah, Germany is taking a whole new approach. They're having 4 shows this year. 24 artists will compete. And then I think some will get eliminated, and then 9, if I'm informed correctly, will make it to the final round. And they are really in it to win it, because NDR does not have the upper hand anymore. It's a combination of ARD and RTL. And the only thing pretty much that stays the same is Babsi. Barbara Schöneberger is still hosting the show.
Aww.
But yeah, that's the only thing that stays the same. And Stefan Raab said himself, you know, if they finish anything below 2nd, like they can complain to him. So I think they're really in it to win it this year.
Yes, but I mean, this is what we talked about just several minutes before, you know, so it's a mentality. So if you go there, if you're aiming for, you know, a top spot or top 3 or whatever, you know, it's still... Also, okay, yes, you have bigger expectations and everything, but like also ending up when people are saying we are, you know, in it in order to win the competition or to do well in the competition, it's somehow it always end up there, you know, it's very rarely the other way around.
That's the whole point of the competition, you know. If you say, oh, I'm in the competition to make new friends, that's not how a competition works.
Yeah.
You can go to Bumble or whatever friend platform there is, you know.
It's a benefit that you get home with some new friends, but like, you know, it's still at the end of the day, it's...
I saw last like season, I saw a headline from some magazine. I don't want to shame anyone, like, but like the headline was pretty much, oh, the news was, oh, Greece is aiming for a top 10 position with Marina Sati. And as you said, you know, I think everyone who enters a competition should be in it to win it, because that's the whole point of a competition.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
A bit older news, but I think still very relevant, is the Netherlands have confirmed their participation in Basel. We've done a whole episode about Joost, well, actually several episodes about Joost and about the Dutch participation in Basel, if it's going to happen or not. And a lot of people are wondering, but it seems like Joost was actually asked to represent the Netherlands again.
Totally fair after everything that happened. And I understand his, declining that offer after. I mean, I'm sure he's still not over it. That was such a roller coaster of emotion. And to put all the work, I mean, Jan, you were talking earlier about all the work that goes in behind the scenes to get an act ready financially, the production, everything, and then just to have that hauled away hours before the grand final. I mean, I can see him not wanting to go back. He's done Eurovision. He's a legend. We all love him. And I don't know what more he could get out of Eurovision unless, you know, he somehow won. Slim chances. We're talking about every country going and wanting to win. Well, so would the Netherlands. And I'm honestly relieved, because had Avotros said no, we're not going this year, I totally would have understood that. And it would have been a shame, because you're talking about one of the original countries pulling out for something, which now that we kind of have a verdict and all that, seems kind of foolish and for no reason. So it's nice to see that they're back, and nice to see that it appears that Eurovision has listened to the Netherlands, and we've got some new rules for the contestants and for the backstage area in Basel. So at least something good came out of all that misery for Joost.
Absolutely. I think it's a big luck and a big good sign that it's like the most neutral country in Europe who won this Eurovision and who's hosting the next one. And yeah, it's still crazy what happens. And I'm still like, it's so funny that Luxembourg was the only Benelux country in the final at the end, which nobody would have expected. But yeah, that's how it went. And I think what you said is pretty much what Joost said in his statement as well. You know, he wanted to go back initially, but then he thought, you know, he has nothing more to gain. He has gained everything from his first experience already. And yeah, I'm glad to see the Netherlands back. And apparently there are some pretty big names who want to get the revenge for the Netherlands this year.
I like that.
This Eurovision year. Yeah. And another pretty big news, which has nothing to do with, you know, national selections or participating countries, is we have a new official partner for Eurovision. And I don't even have much to say about this because I don't know this company, but Novartis, Swiss, apparently pharmaceutical company. Do you guys know more about it?
Yeah, Google knows more about it. I just had to look it up. I have no idea.
I literally work next to the Novartis building in Ljubljana. So whenever I go, I see it. So it's like what?
Omnipresent in your life.
Yeah.
Very present.
I Googled. They appear to be worldwide. I mean, when I Googled, it's saying Novartis Canada. So they must be here as well. And it's saying that they're an innovative medicines company. So like Jan said, a pharmaceutical company. And their slogan is, every day we work to reimagine medicine to improve people's lives. So apparently their medicines reach more than 250 million people worldwide. So that's a lot of coin. That's a lot of bank. So they have the money to throw at Eurovision in their home country this year. So yay, I guess.
it makes sense. You know, Switzerland is one of the richest countries in the world, and they should have, you know, a home-based company who has the ability to support them financially.
Wasn't that how we got stuck with Moroccan Oil? Didn't they join in 2019?
Let's not go into that. I think that is too controversial. But yeah, right now, as we're recording this, we have 35 officially confirmed countries. There are three more countries that have been in Malmö who have not said anything regarding their participation next year yet. These are Poland, Moldova, and Armenia. You know, some rumors are still there about Romania, Bulgaria, and North Macedonia. So yeah, how many countries do you think will end up in Basel on the final list?
That's really tough. I don't see Armenia, Moldova, or Poland pulling out. I don't know why Poland is being so secretive this year. Be secretive about the process, the song, whatever, I get it, but, I mean, there's no need to say you're not participating. I mean, are they salty because Luna didn't qualify?
No, I don't get it for Poland. I think Moldova and Armenia are pretty much never, like, publicly confirming. They're just on the list, you know, when the list gets revealed. And I think Poland, you know, maybe they're preparing for Junior Eurovision because that's their biggest success. And, yeah, maybe they'll think about it after, but, yeah. How do you feel about, you know, either Romania, Bulgaria, or North Macedonia returning?
I would like North Macedonia to come back.
Yes.
I really would. I think Andrea was dealt a shitty hand in Torino. And especially with that ridiculous controversy where she laid the flag down for pitchers. I mean,
controversy that, with many brackets,
right? But it haunted her the rest of the competition. The only good thing was that she finished 11th when she was supposed to be the last in the semifinal, so she almost but they always bring something good, something different. I'd like for them to come back, and it seems like they want to. All the news surrounding them is all financial, obviously, and they're looking in the budget to see if they can actually come back and afford the participation fee and the staging and all that. So I think of the three you just mentioned, they're the most likely. I don't see Romania coming back for financial reasons, especially all the money they wasted in Liverpool and Bulgaria. I think they've pretty much confirmed on their Twitter, their sarcastic Twitter, whatever that account is, that they're
not... Well, do not take that seriously.
but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I think for North Macedonia it would make sense. You know, they've had like a two-year break, and they always, as you said, deliver something interesting. And especially with Montenegro returning as well, maybe it's time that we have more Balkan countries again. And I think, you know, even Baby Lasagna's success has had a big impact in the other ex-Yugoslavian country. I don't know, Jan, if you can talk more about this, but...
Definitely,
now is
the
time.
No, the thing is that I would say when it comes to Baby Lasagna and his success, which is still continuously going on and on, and it doesn't really look that it will stop anytime soon.
Yeah.
It embraced the whole region. He really is performing not only... He's performing in the Balkans, because he's really like... He embarked on tour right after Eurovision. And you know, also serving with the new songs, they're charting, you know, he's being nominated for different awards in Croatia. So he definitely brought the attention back to our fans, or literally people who used to watch Eurovision that didn't watch it anymore. So he definitely gave a positive impact on that, because it's, you know, they saw that, you know, you don't have to, it's not really about, oh, they don't like us, oh, you know, it's really all about a good song and how does it go viral and how is it really embraced by the audience, at least.
And on the topic of Baby Lasagna, we should send congratulations. He did just get married.
Yes.
To a woman. There's that. But you can also, if you want, go back and check out our interview with him on the podcast. We were one of the very first... I think after I think we were the first ones to get him for a podcast.
We were the first.
He was chosen. Yeah.
We were the first podcast.
First podcast ever. Not Eurovision podcast, but first podcast ever who got Baby Lasagna after he was announced for competing at Dora. And I think we were his second published interview.
Yeah.
Since that. So, I did some of my stats.
And all this was just, you know, Dora was just putting him back, you know, in case someone withdraws. Then we have baby Lasagna as a replacement. And this shows, you know, how well Croatia could do every year.
If, guys, you know, do you remember that moment we have this little WhatsApp group, right? And then we were talking about how one of the Croatian artists just dropped out of competition. There was this one baby Lasagna coming up with new, how was it, like the recap, and we were listening to that and we were like, oh, you know, this is something, definitely. And you know, just not even a year after, how this whole thing drastically changed and how one unknown boy from Croatia started to dominate the charts and performing and touring all around. And it's unbelievable. Just, it's all just up to you. How much do you take from Eurovision?
That's beautiful. I think on that note, we can end this episode. Those are, of course, just our 50 cents to all these topics. So please share your opinion with us in the comments and on our social media platforms. We are at Building Bridges Pod pretty much everywhere. Our website is called buildingbridgespod.com, and tune in next time again when we discuss Eurovision. Bye-bye.
Ciao.